Welcome to Walk the Talk, a private podcast production with me, Dave Thomas. Thank you for downloading this edition of the programme. I do hope you enjoy it. Up until now, I have interviewed folk with the hope and intention of expanding and illuminating the subject of well-being. In what will become a regular addition to these podcasts, I will be sharing my own experiences. In this episode, I'll talk you through my work as a family liaison officer. At times heartbreaking, but ultimately rewarding work. But the role has a shelf life, and as you will hear, that clock is ticking. And one day I know I will have to give up that role I volunteered for 10 years ago. The opposite of death is birth, not life as many people think. Life is what transpires between those two events, of which we have no control. We anticipate and hope for a happy, fruitful and long life, not only for ourselves but for our friends and for the people we love the most. For reasons I am yet to understand, circumstances and events transpire to bring a person's life to a premature end, sometimes before it's even really begun. If that death is the result of a potential criminal act, then a family liaison officer is parachuted in, landing firmly in the middle of an emotional no-man's land of a devastated family. I purposely use that language because we invade a family's grief and intimacy with the same abruptness that a shell hits the floor. You are entering a vacuum with little to offer but yourself. Working as a family liaison officer can be immensely rewarding, to help a fellow human being in their darkest hour and actually be in a position to change the world for one person, or at least help them to adjust to a new one. That painful privilege does have a price, and as in all things in life, a price that has to be paid. If not managed effectively, that privilege can come with a very high price indeed. I've dealt with pretty much every which way a human being can die. I've never had somebody die in my arms, unless of course you count my own mother, and that is an experience I've yet to get over. Working on the road policing unit, I've seen body disruption, a non-descriptive, non-emotional term to exactly describe a scene from hell. I've seen decapitation and people burnt beyond recognition. I have seen folk with not a scratch on them. Not pleasant sights, and never unseen, that will stay with me until it is my time to say farewell. But what really affects me as a family liaison officer, and continues to do so, is the utter vacuum for those left behind, the mind-numbing, cold-hearted emptiness, the grief that relentlessly keeps crashing over again and again. They feel it, and so do we. I'm often asked, how do you tell somebody their loved one has died? I've learnt from painful experience, and the answer may sound blunt. Use plain words in simple sentences. They have died. They have been killed. They know what I'm going to say when they open their front door. It's written all over my face, and they're listening hard for the words they desperately don't want to hear. It's important, therefore, to be clear, because they're already in shock. I feel a tremendous amount of relief once I have passed that message. The worst thing for me is for them to say, I know. A family liaison officer will, wherever possible, go to the scene of a fatal collision. They'll brief by the senior investigating officer on the circumstances and any clues as to the identity of the deceased. It's not always that easy, and there is a tremendous amount of pressure to let the next of kin know as soon as possible. We have to be sure we know the identity of the deceased, and we are always fighting a battle with social media. I have lost count how many times I have destroyed a family with that news, but it always starts the same way. Visit the scene, do your background checks, and trying to keep your mind on the road as you drive to their house. But honestly, you're already in another place, preparing yourself to enter their world and to become a part of it. Even before you've got to the house, you're soaking information in. What sort of neighbourhood is it? Style of the houses? Even the width of the road you're driving along? Then there is the house, and you're looking for something that, if seen, will fill you with dread. The toys of children lying in the garden. Advance warnings that this is going to be a tough one. I know of a colleague that had to deliver that message to a waiting wife and children who were about to celebrate a birthday. I've had to get people out of bed, turn the gas off on a cooker for a dinner about to be served, bury a dog that had been killed with its owner. The list is as long, as is varied, as it is tragic. I arrive at the front door. I hesitate to knock, taking a deep breath as I raise my arm. Sometimes the door opens suddenly before I get the chance to knock. I introduce myself and insist I come inside. I ask if there's anybody else in the house. I have known folk we thought had been killed only to walk down the stairs. I also ask that question to make sure that there is support available. I take in every little detail. You can tell whether there's love in the house. And you're there in the knowledge you're about to destroy somebody's world. And with that, for the storyteller, for the messenger, over the years comes guilt. Sometimes my mind has wandered over to that famous Hindu text quoted by the father of the atomic bomb. I have become death, but I know I'm only the messenger. People react in different ways. I've been slapped, hugged, screamed at, and even had a cup of tea made for me. And I've nearly had a cup of tea poured over me. Over the years, I've learnt the power of silence. I used to try and fill that void over the sobbing tears, invariably saying something stupid. Now I don't bother. The next huge emotional hurdle for me and my family is the formal identification. Yes, you see, they are my family now. I came into their world as a stranger, and now our common friend is death. Identification is usually done at the hospital mortuary. The staff are acutely aware of the circumstances and are so very supportive towards the next of kin. For many, this is the time when the awful news finally sinks in. Instinctively, I stand behind those who wait to see what's behind the curtain, ready to catch them when they faint. All too often they'll say to me, they didn't believe me until they'd seen their loved one with their own eyes. The first few hours for a family liaison officer are draining, both emotionally and physically. It is the start of a long, painful route lasting many months, which is littered with hurdles and troughs. I have shared the grief of many families over the years. Some start off as friends and remain friends. Some start off as enemies, becoming friends. But I am proud to say I've never lost a friend, nor created an enemy. That takes more than dedication and hard work. It takes sacrifice, in point of fact. And so, to the real point of this podcast, all of this takes its toll. A toll that must be paid. A willing transaction nonetheless. Each subsequent deployment gets harder, not easier. Genuine tears that I used to find easy to hide are no longer so. A mind racing with thoughts that get harder to put to sleep at night. I'm now unable to watch videos of cruelty to both man and animal. Getting irritable over minor things. And yes, only the other week, my hearing briefly dropped quite significantly due to that stealthy assassin, stress. Being honest with myself, I realised that I am getting closer to emotional saturation. I have given of myself, without regret or hesitation over the years. The effect, though, is cumulative. I have given you a piece of me, in exchange for a piece of your grief. I can't take it off you, but I can help you to carry it when it gets too heavy. And as a result, you now have a part of me, whether you want it or not. So how much more do I have left to give? The honest answer is I don't know. But I have learnt throughout the years, and my own emotional intelligence tells me, I won't be waiting until it gets too late. Quitting whilst you're ahead is not the same as quitting.